Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. For those that I haven't had a chance to connect with yet, my name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this fabulous community of faith, and we are grateful to gather on this Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend to celebrate and worship together with you all. I am grateful to welcome with us this morning Reverend Mike Carroll. Mike is a colleague and friend. He has journeyed with us throughout our time of planting the table over these number of years, and he's currently serving at Pacific School of Religion, which is a seminary in Berkeley, for those that aren't familiar, as the campus minister there. And so we are grateful to have you with us this morning, Mike, and we appreciate that. And I shared in an email something on Friday that I don't normally share, which is a little teaser that we're going to have a surprise this morning. And so a number of people have wondered about that surprise. Some of us have already been hearing the surprise and we don't even know yet. So here is, over the last year, our amazing music director, whose name is Brendan Lowe, he is on the piano over in that space. He has been, well, a year is an understatement. Over the last several years, he has been letting us know that the Baldwin piano that we've had in this space for all of these years is on its last leg. This is a piano, when other guest pianists come into this space, they have to prepare their fingers because their fingers would bleed when the keys, because they were so worn over the years. It had been well worn, and it was having a hard time holding its tune. And then right before, this is just the news you want to hear right before Christmas Eve, the tuner comes in and says, the crack in the bass of your piano, it's like serious. Like, this is beyond finished. And so thankfully, Brendan and these amazing musicians helped connect us with a piano that was in a sanctuary in Folsom, but had not been used hardly at all since it was brought to the space in 2000. So this morning we're hearing for the very first time in this space a new to us Baldwin piano. I came in and I tried to play it on Saturday, but I was like, it doesn't sound that different when I play this. So it turns out you actually need to have a great pianist to do this as well, and we are grateful to have just that. And we're grateful for the generosity of folks in this community. The overall giving is what made it possible for our administrative board to say yes to this thing that wasn't part of our emergency plan that we knew we were going to need to have in place. But your generosity helped us to lean into this. And a couple of special gifts that came in, Brenda Waters and Lynn and Steve Walker also made gifts to help make this possible. And so we are so grateful for your generosity that allows this piano to be in this space. It arrived earlier this week. It was so exciting. It pulled up outside. So I'm going to invite you to stand either in body or spirit. We're going to move together into worship. This is our music team sharing See the Love.
So much more than them before we hear what they have to say. Headline breaks and we start to hate again, calling them names again. We give our peace away. I hope they see, 'cause I wanna see it. I hope we believe it. I wanna see the love all around you, all around you. I want to know. hope fades away, and then we know that there is pain within. We cannot medicate. Learn to feel. Learn to begin again. Open our eyes.
Amen. I invite us to be seated. You sound beautiful. We're going to keep moving in worship. We are in a series that we're calling Look at God, inviting one another to reflect on the images of God that we bring and carry with us into a space. Some of those many of us need to let go of, or we're finding our way in the midst of letting go of those and living into new ones. During this series, we are rooting ourselves in the poetry also of Christian Wiman, and Christian teaches at Yale Divinity School, and this is a poem called Every Riven Thing. And so I do want to just share one word before we move into this. There's some masculine language that Christian uses in this, and just invite you to translate this in your own body and heart as you need to in this space. Christian is on his own journey, and he's an amazing poet who was diagnosed with cancer that they told him would be terminal. He would have just 5 years to live, and that was well over 20 years ago now. He continues to find his way in that journey and is an amazing, amazing poet who invites us ever more deeply into how we experience and know the love of God. So this is Christian Wiman's Every Riven Thing. I invite us into a spirit of prayer.
God goes, belonging to every riven thing he's made. Sing his being simply by being the thing it is. Stone and tree and sky. Man who sees and sings and wonders why. God goes, belonging to every riven thing he's made means a storm of peace. Think of the atoms inside the stone. Think of the man who sits alone, trying to will himself into the stillness where God goes belonging to every riven thing he's made. There is given one shade, shaped exactly to the thing itself. Under the tree, a darker tree. under the man, the only man to see. God goes belonging to every riven thing. He's made the things that bring him near, made the mind that makes him go. A part of what man knows, apart from what man knows. God goes belonging to every riven thing he's made.
Oh, I wonder who I wonder. Hello? Okay. Welcome. Welcome to the table. And my name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. Let's breathe in and breathe out, and let's calm ourselves. Oof. We welcome those online at thetable.live and also our Church Center app. Our online host today is Jay, and co-leading by Cara. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, we encourage you to text NEW to 916-452-5016. We'll gather tomorrow from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. to celebrate the life and legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at Table Farm. We encourage you to join us for this community volunteer shift. The table will once again be collecting soup and other canned or dried goods to be shared with others and neighbors in need as part of our Super Bowl of Caring. Tackle Hunger Nationwide campaign will collect items in the sanctuary through February 19th. We are thrilled to share once again that our administrative board made a gift of $5,000 to support Habitant for Humanity, Build for Unity. So I would like to give a clap to each and every one of us and our administrative board. We'll have volunteer teams to build alongside other neighbors and community of faith February 1st, 7th, and 8th. Our team for February 1st is full, but we are opening for February 7th and 8th. Registration will close in the coming days. Please sign up today on our website, thetableumc.org. Before I go, I wanted to share a scene on Christmas Eve. And we had here on the 5 p.m. service, 364 people. And one of, in amongst doing, you know, being here and setting up.
We want to cut that, not to have the fire marshal know. So
yes.
We'd like.
Okay, yes, that's true. We did have a set by people. At the fireplace. But anyways, we had kids giving out stars, right? And with amongst the chaos and everything, they were given the stars to give. And this is just a beautiful scene where they had to just go in the lines and just hand out the stars. But these little kiddos, they went aisle by aisle, and I would just show it to you guys. They literally would hold the stars and ran through the pews like this while everybody's trying to squeeze away so they give the space for them. And that's so beautiful and so enriching. And that's how hospitality looks like. And that's where I come from, where I see this. We are reinventing so many things, and we are doing and we are learning at the same time, and everybody is bringing their own beautiful energy and making this place shine. So I encourage you, each one of you, to think and consider about hospitality, signing up, and if the system auto-schedules you, do confirm or decline, just so that we can, you know, make this place shine. So, and I would really love to give a clap for those little kiddos who were there helping on that day, and just, you know, so thank you, our children and our kids. I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join our voice with our music team in the historic hymn of the church called Abide With Me. Thank you.
fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, tears lose their bitterness. Where is thy sting, death? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Hymns morning breaks and earth's vain shine.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bob Martinez, and at this time, I want to fix this stand here. Oh, well. I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with a little new piano walking music. I want to remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are unfortunately experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Throughout worship at both 9:30 and 11 this morning, and godly play takes place right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the 36th Psalm, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in their hearts. There is no fear of God before their eyes, for they flatter themselves in their own eyes that their iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of their mouths are mischief and deceit. They have ceased to act wisely and to do good. They plot mischief while on their beds. They are set on a way that is not good. They do not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animal alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant tread on me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie prostrate. They are thrust down, unable to rise.
Good morning, everybody. It is good to be with you again. Thank you. It takes a minute. I get it. So the 36th Psalm offers us both a comfortable and comforting conception of God. What we hear the psalmist articulating in the text is both a simple and a direct way of thinking about how God relates to the world, relates to the context of our own lives. In essence, what the psalmist is saying is that God is a God who takes care of and tends to those who are committed to living rightly. And that God is also a God who will hold accountable in some way, shape, or form those who do not share that commitment to live rightly. And furthermore, if in the event you, as someone who is committed to living rightly, find yourself in conflict with someone who does not share that commitment, then God will side with you in that conflict and bring you through it victorious, on top. Again, it's a comfortable and comforting way of thinking about God, how God relates to the world, and how God relates to the context of our own lives. It's not dissimilar to the conception of God that I held when I was in my early 20s. It also was direct and rather simple. It consisted basically of my belief that God expected three things of me. One, to be nice. The other, to be honest. And third, to not get anybody pregnant. Thank you. was the gospel according to mom. And I believed that as long as I did those three things, I would be on solid ground with God. Again, it was a comfortable and comforting way of thinking about God and how God interacted and related to my life. And because of the similarities between my understanding at that time and the conception of God that we hear articulated in this psalm, I can't help but wonder how long this way of thinking about God actually served the psalmist well. I can't help but think about what that life moment was that shattered this conception of God that we hear the psalmist articulating in this morning's text. At what point was it painfully apparent that this way of understanding God wasn't sufficient to meet the harder, more challenging, more tragic, more complicated realities of life? I can tell you when that moment was for me. It was 4 days before my 22nd birthday, when my mom died as a result of a sudden, massive heart attack that she had suffered a day earlier. My whole world was shattered. And it left a gaping hole in my belief system about God and how I believed God worked in the world and in my life. I had upheld my end of the bargain. I'd tried to be nice, I'd tried to be honest, hadn't gotten anybody pregnant. And yet, the solid ground that my life had occupied just a day earlier was utterly and completely gone. And I was in free fall, and would be in free fall for the better part of a year as a result of my mom's death. And in that span of time, as you might imagine, I was kind of all over the place, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. One of the places I found myself on occasion was, although it was obvious to me that there was this gaping hole in my belief system, that there was this massive contradiction between what I had believed about God and now what had been my lived experience in and through the death of my mom, I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to poke too hard on it because it felt too fraught. It felt like that if I was actually honest and took a good hard look at that contradiction, at that disconnect, that I would just lose my faith altogether. And I'd already lost more than I felt like I could possibly bear. And so I just kind of went on spiritual autopilot, doing the things spiritually, religiously, church-wise that I'd always done, pretending as if this massive contradiction wasn't there. Then at other times, I would bounce entirely the opposite direction and be ready to chuck the whole thing, God, church, religion, all of it, because it had failed me. God had failed me. luckily, during that span of time, our pastor was very intentional about kind of walking alongside of me. He knew that I was struggling. And through his presence, through his kind of open-ended, thoughtful questions and reflections and wonderings that helped me to wonder, I began to understand that there's this, a distinction between what we believe about God in any given moment and the actual reality of God. It's a line of distinction that I think sometimes we blur, and we act as if they're one and the same thing, and they're not. They're radically different from one another. I also began to realize how ridiculously arrogant it was to think that beings as finite and limited as we are can ever grasp anything more than a piece of understanding, a fragment of understanding of a reality that is so infinite and limitless as God is. And that is a dynamic that God understands, that God knows, that God expects. Those realizations opened up a pathway for me to begin to more intentionally and conscientiously and critically reflect on what I believed about God, about faith, about life and death, about fairness and justice and righteousness and sin, all of those things and all of the ways in which God intersects with and relates to them. I was able to engage in those questions and that struggle and those debates and those arguments, and it felt so much less fraught. It didn't feel scary to do it anymore. It didn't feel like an act of faithlessness on my part. But rather, it felt like it was a process that God was very much present with me in the midst of, helping me to emerge into a new place of understanding and of being. In the midst of that process, which admittedly was totally self-centered, it was about me trying to figure out my life and my questions and my faith and my grief. In the midst of that process, to my utter horror, I experienced a call to ministry. And after a tremendous amount of foot dragging and arguing, that call to ministry, of course, led me to seminary. And when you're in seminary, you're exposed to all kinds of theological frameworks, right? About that have different ways of thinking about God and how God relates to the world and meets us in the context of our lives. And one of those theological frameworks that I was exposed to at school, and it was one that my school was particularly renowned for kind of championing, was something called process thought or process theology. And I'm not going to get into the weeds on it because it's real easy to get into the weeds really quickly with process theology. But one of the primary concepts of process theology was the belief that God is continually, perpetually in the process of revealing God's self to the world and to us as part of that world. And likewise, the world and we are always in the process of becoming. Always in the process of becoming. None of us is exactly as we were a day ago. Change, movement, fluidity, those are the benchmarks, the foundations of creation. None of it is static. None of it stays the same. Now, that doesn't mean that we're changing by leaps and bounds every other day. In fact, the change almost always is very small, very gradual, very incremental, invisible to the naked eye, but it's always ongoing, that process of our becoming, as is God's process of continually revealing God's self to us. So as we move through life, as we have different experiences, some of which are gloriously beautiful and loving and others that are heartbreakingly tragic, all of those experiences, even the mundane and the everyday, impact us in ways, big and small, that change us, that change our perception about life, that change our perception about others, that change the way we think about ourselves, and ultimately, that also changes the way we think about God and what is faithfulness, what is justice, what is righteousness, what is sin, what is grace, all of those things. And according to process theology, the belief is that in those moments, that we have to be willing, as we continue in this process of our own becoming, to sometimes let go of some of those beliefs and understandings and perspectives and concepts that we've held. Concepts and beliefs that maybe served us well at a certain point in our lives. But as we have gone on, as we have continued to become the next version of ourselves, they no longer serve us as well, or maybe they don't serve us at all. And according to process theology, when we find ourselves in those moments, God is not a God who stands in front of us and says, "Nope, you got it wrong. You failed the test." But rather, God is a God who stands beside us and says, "You know what? It's okay if you let that go. It's okay if you let that belief, that understanding, that perspective go. And let me show you something new that might be helpful." According to process theology, that moment is God's grace. That's one of the ways process theology defines the grace of God. And it's rooted in this belief that God is not interested in who we were or who we have been, but rather in who we have the potential to become. God isn't fixated on keeping us locked in to a particular time and place in our development or particular set of beliefs, but God is interested in who and what we are becoming and helping to facilitate us in that becoming. And so for us in that, the call and the challenge is to realize that those moments are not failures. Those moments of disconnect and disorientation and contradiction aren't failures of faith. rather they are gifts from a gracious God. Amen.
Amen. At the heart of our very tradition is itself a practice or a process that invites us together into a way of becoming that next expression of ourselves that God longs for us to find our way toward. We call that communion or common union in our tradition. And at the end of his time, Jesus could have done any number of things. It would have been a moment. If the goal were to have right belief in some way, this would have been the moment to give people those two or three things to hold on to. And instead, what Jesus offered those that were around him was a way to process something that would feel like failure, death at the hands of an empire, and then to find their way into a new understanding, a new way of experiencing beauty and hope and justice. And they did that together around a table, trusting that they were each being made new and that together God was making all things new. And so we have an opportunity every time we come to the table to listen for the new becoming that God is luring or inviting us into. And so we want to step with you all now into that space. And one of the ways that we do that is by also acknowledging the ways that we stumble around in the midst of this. We don't always hold ourselves attentive or attuned to the way God is meeting us in love. And sometimes we get all tangled up in our own ways of being. And the church calls this a prayer of confession. So I invite you to stand if you're willing or able, in body or in spirit. And I invite us to join our voices together in a prayer of confession. And we're using during this series some language that we hope will invite us into some new ways of connecting with God. This prayer of confession comes to us from Vine Deloria. Vine is a native indigenous activist and scholar who challenges us to reimagine how God is revealing God's self to us in this moment. And then we'll turn to some really, really ancient language to help us move together in this invitation. So I invite us at this moment to join our voices together as one in this prayer, which comes from Vine Deloria's God is Red. Let us pray. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land?
Hear these words of assurance, which come to us from a first century prayer by Clement of Rome. Show yourself to those in need. Heal the sick. Fill the hungry. Give freedom to our prisoners. Console the faint-hearted. This way of Christ's beauty and love is yours this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those nearest you.
Peace, Mike. Thanks for being you. Peace.
The giver of every good thing, you create the visible world and all it contains. You inebriate it with inexhaustible springs. You said, let us make humanity in our own image. You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. You gave us bodies endowed with five senses and with movement. You brought us into this paradise of delights. But we scorned your commandment, and in the process, lost paradise. But you did not reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead. The fire of compassion descended and took up residence in bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the river in which we are baptized. Fire and spirit in our baptismal fonts. In the bread and in the cup are fire, fire and Holy Spirit. Christ's bodies, friends, is newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood poured into our veins. Christ's voice in our ears. Christ's brightness in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ has been mingled in the whole of our becoming. Together the words Jesus taught his disciples as they are paraphrased for this day in the New Zealand Prayer Book. Eternal Spirit,
Earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe.
the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour out your Spirit on us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts, the body and love of Christ, make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. Friends, I invite us to be seated. All are welcome here to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist tradition, we practice what is called an open communion table. And so what that means, in short, is that all are welcome and all truly means all. You don't need to be a member of this church or any denomination or any tradition to participate here together in this meal. For those of us that are here in the sanctuary, we'll have two stations here in the front and one in the back of the sanctuary. For those gathering with us online, we invite you to find near to you or bring near to you whatever you might use in this moment to share in this practice of communion with us. Each station will have on it bread that has been baked for us this weekend, and then in the middle is an option for those who need something gluten-free. And in the chalice, or in the cup in our tradition, is always grape juice. And so we invite you to take a piece of the bread and to dip that into the juice. There are places surrounding us to pause and to light candles if you feel moved to be in a spirit of prayer, whatever that might look like for you in this moment. Friends, this is the bread of life. It's the body of Christ broken for you and for all of creation. And this is the cup of God's healing and forgiveness and love poured out for you and for the whole world. Come, God's table is set and all are invited. Mike, the bread of life broken for you and God's love poured out for you. We encourage those praying with candles to remain in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the ways in which you reveal yourself to creation through this holy mystery, this divine dance into which we are woven in the threads of your grace, we give you thanks. In this bread and in this cup, may your love bind us together and send us into the world. In the spirit and care of your healing presence, we offer this in the name of Jesus, in whom we place our hope. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, we hope that you will wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting you into, to listen for the ways that God might be inviting you to be in a place of transformation in this moment, and how God is showing up into the world. The phenomenal generosity of this community allows us to continue to lean into God's unfolding call on our lives. It helped us several years ago to say yes when an opportunity to come alongside neighbors and grow food with neighbors came upon us, and we started to grow food in South Sacramento. It's been with us as we've been journeying in that process, moving from our previous home in Hollywood Park down to our new Table Farm home. And we invite you to join us there. We'll be tomorrow at 9. We'll be coming alongside one another on this MLK Day of Service. And if you don't already have plans, we encourage you to sign up and to join us there tomorrow. There are a number of next steps we invite you to take. Linda and I, actually Debbie is going to come alongside me during this time. I'll say a word about Pastor Linda. She's moving this week into a series of scans that we hope will reveal some next steps. And then she'll be meeting with an oncologist in the following week. And so our hope is that we'll be able to share some news about those next steps. We know that 18 folks are already signed up to take a next step in our community this Tuesday to join us in Growing in Faith. We're really excited about that. It's our largest group that I think we've ever really had in Growing in Faith in this way. Debbie and I will be leading that alongside one another, and our hope is that Pastor Linda might join us in that time as well. And we're going to share in the next couple days other opportunities. If you're not part of that group, there will be other opportunities to join Growing in Faith in the coming weeks, and we'll share those with you. Just outside of the sanctuary, you'll find Ezekiel and his team with Rise Up, some of the most amazing bread that we invite you to take home or to gift to someone that you care about in your life. Our musicians are going to send us out this morning. This is a song that they wrote together. It's called Open Unto Me. It is a processed way of understanding how God is opening us into one another and into new places of becoming. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and to join your voice as you feel led.
Yes, to what?
from this place open to becoming the next best expression of yourself, trusting that God will always be with us in that process. Amen.
Thanks for all you've given, yes to what will be, rooted in this moment, reach and give. Thanks for all you've given, yes to what will be, rooted in this moment, reach and give.